This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:05. It's good to have you with us on this Tuesday afternoon. Trading back underway on Wall Street. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. We have a winter weather advisory from noon until midnight tonight. Freezing drizzle and flurries. A high temperature of 34. Right now, we've got temperatures in the 20s.
The Noon Business Hour is presented by Old Second Bank. Let's kick things off with an update of Wall Street. At Bloomberg, here's Elisa Parenti.
It is a regrettable start, Cisco and Chris, to the trading week here on Wall Street. The Dow is slumping 362 points, or 1.5%. The benchmark now at 24,344. NASDAQ falling 125 points, or 1.75%. S&P down 41 points. And the Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index also in the red by 1.75%. China's economic growth stalled last year to its weakest growth rate since 1990. The damaging trade war with the U.S. and China's efforts to curb domestic pollution and reckless lending took a major bite out of the world's second largest economy. Also, at the World Economic Forum's annual meeting in Davos, billionaire investor Ray Dalio says central bank policymakers have an inappropriate desire to tighten faster than capital markets can handle. Here at home, a hush over housing. Mortgage rates crept upward and sales of previously owned homes fell to the lowest pace in more than 3 years in December. That from the National Association of Realtors. Crude futures sinking almost 3% down to $52.32 a barrel. Back to you, Cisco and Chris.
Thanks, Elisa. On today's Noon Business Hour, we're talking about some of these topics. China reporting weakness in its economy and the U.S. reporting a puzzling decline in home sales.
Starbucks increases delivery of its products, and Travel Tuesday, TSA troubles because of the government shutdown. All of that and loads more on today's Noon Business Hour.
A deposit for your future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Well, the markets are losing ground today. It's the first trading day of the week. We're joined by Jim Awad, Senior Managing Director at Clearstead Advisors in New York.
Gus Fauché is joining us now. He's chief economist at PNC Financial Services in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Sales of existing homes, that may lead today's data. Gus, what do we make of this slowdown?
We saw home sales decline across the board. So they were down in all four major regions of the country. And that seems to indicate that perhaps potential home buyers are a little bit nervous about the financial system. So we've had the slump in the stock market. This probably doesn't reflect the government shutdown. That only happened toward the end of the month. And so it looks like that consumers are concerned out there, and that's weighing on home buying right now.
And what do you sense? You mentioned what consumers probably feel. What do you sense about all of this, the White House and, all the arguments going on?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, there's been a lot of talk about a potential recession. We've seen a big decline in stock prices, and in the late 2018, the government shutdown started to affect confidence at the end of December. And so, I think you put it all together, and people have gotten a little bit anxious. They're concerned that the expansion isn't going to continue this year, and that may make them a little bit reticent about going out and purchasing a home, which is a huge investment. And so I think given that, it makes sense that home buying would weaken. Hopefully we'll see better economic data once the shutdown gets over, and then we'll see home buying pick back up again.
And then we hear overseas from China that the economy grew 6.6%. That's the lowest pace in 28 years.
So we are seeing slower growth in China. The Chinese government has indicated that they are going to work to support growth there. I think we also saw a downgrade to economic growth for 2019 from the IMF. So it looks like we are seeing global economic slowing, and I would expect that some of that is going to carry over to the United States.
And when you say carry over, because of how intertwined the economies are, I mean, why is that?
Yeah, I mean, couple things. First of all, just slower global economic growth means slower export growth in the United States. And then I think a lot of the slowing is going to come from increased trade tensions. So we continue to have negotiations between the United States and China, but we are seeing inward moves in the United States and in other countries that are restricting exports. And I think that's going to be a drag on growth here as well as a drag on growth internationally.
Now, what would we have to get as some sort of a deal with China in order for all of this, all the back and forth, all the tariffs, all of it to in some way have made sense? I mean, is there a way that a good deal for both sides could actually be achieved here?
I certainly think so. The United States has some legitimate concerns about intellectual property, and I understand that's been one of the stumbling blocks. But certainly China could reduce some of their trade barriers. The United States could reduce some of its trade barriers and reduce the tariffs that the Trump administration has proposed. And I think that would allow both sides to claim victory and allow for stronger global economic growth and stronger Chinese and U.S. economic growth as well.
The home sales, what does that tell us about the economy?
I think that it tells us that economic growth is likely to be slower in 2019 than it was in 2018, in part because of a lot of the uncertainty that's out there, that investors, consumers are a little bit nervous there by what's been going on in the stock market, so they may slow they're spending a little bit. That being said, assuming we get through the government shutdown without any significant long-run damage to the U.S. economy, I still think that we'll continue to see the U.S. economy expand this year, a bit slower pace than what we had last year, but still solid job growth and a declining unemployment rate.
Gus Fauché, good analysis, chief economist, PNC Financial Services in Pittsburgh. Up next, alterations have been made to plans for a major development on the north side. Does this mean it will get through more quickly?
The best daily deal in Chicago, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Developer Sterling Bay's revised proposal for the massive Lincoln Yards project on the north side includes key changes. Let's get the latest from Danny Ecker, reporter at Crain's Chicago Business. Danny, bring us up to date on what the changes are.
So Sterling Bay over the weekend published on their website a few more tweaks to this grand 55-plus acre plan for the North Branch corridor between Lincoln Park and Bucktown. They had already announced the biggest change from the last publicly shared plan, which was getting rid of the 20,000-seat soccer stadium, which was reported about a week ago. What was posted over the weekend included a few interesting tweaks. One was they are now calling for actually more square footage of development. They said 15 million square feet, up from the previously announced 12.8 million square feet. They said there would be more residential units, 6,000 instead of 5,000. And they said there would be a net reduction in the total height of all the buildings in the plan, but they didn't specify how much. So just more tweaks to the plan that now appears on track to go before the Plan Commission on Thursday and could be approved potentially all the way through City Council next month if everything goes Sterling Bay's way.
So how important was it to get rid of the soccer stadium idea? Seems like that was one of the big sticking points.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was one of those requests that a developer makes in a grand plan that, you know, hey, this is what we like to do, maybe with the understanding that they may have to make some sacrifices. And, you know, throwing a 20,000-seat soccer stadium into the middle of, I guess, between two neighborhoods that are very congested and very dense in population, that was something that, you know, residents were kind of resoundingly against. So it was just one of those things that I think Sterling Bay put out there, because if you don't ask, you'll never get it anyway. So it just was now it goes down as part of the concession that they've made, apparently, to get Alderman Hopkins' support.
And in general, does it look like it will get support, or are we going to have a like the Obama building?
Well, it's you know, it has the support of Alderman Brian Hopkins, the second ward, which is the key, one of the biggest pieces of support they need. And I know there are quite a few voices against this, basically saying we need more time to evaluate the latest plan. Residents in the area, owners of some independent music venues in the area have been pretty noisy trying to kind of slow this down. It's unclear how it's all going to play out on Thursday, but typically when an alderman is backing a project, The Planning Commission, at least, will put it up for consideration. And if they are supported, the Alderman supports it, they typically will get the support of the Planning Commission.
And what is the role of the mayor, who's not going to be the mayor much longer?
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the reasons this has been pushed through to some degree, is that you've got an outgoing mayor, a lame duck city council. You know, so Sterling Bay wanted to make sure that this long process they've gone through, I guess the broader long process of the North Branch framework plan that was enacted a couple years ago, that they didn't have to kind of start over here. Now's the time to seize the demand. So, you know, with the mayor on his way out, and Mayor Emanuel has been very pro-development, Sterling Bay, I think, just looked and said, we better do what we can to make sure we can get this done now and approved now, because it's a lot of uncertainty with who the next mayor will be and what kind of policies they'll have and attitudes they'll have toward certain development in certain areas.
Danny Ecker, reporter at Crain's Chicago Business. Thanks for bringing us up to date, Danny. Still ahead, Travel Tuesday, how the funding impasse in Washington is affecting U.S. airports.
WBBM News Time, 12:25. Let's take a look at the markets with Elisa Peretti.
Chris, the Dow sinking 383 points, or 1.5% now, in the benchmarks at 24,325. NASDAQ down almost 2% on the day, lower by 138 points. S&P retreating 42 points. And the Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg also approaching a 2% sell-off. Crude oil futures sharply lower, down 3% today to $52.18 a barrel. Now let's check in with Kurt Kimmel at Bates Commodities in Normal. Kurt?
Well, good afternoon, Lisa. Grain markets had deteriorated with stronger prices earlier in the session. There were ideas that China would buy some wheat if trade deal would be met. But just recently here, there's talk that the U.S. has rejected China's offer on preparatory trade talks this week due to the lack of progress. Corn futures down 3 to 4 cents. Soybeans 12 to 13 cents lower, with the wheat down 0.5 cent. This is Kurt Kimmel, Bates Commodities in Normal.
Thanks, Kurt. I'm Elisa Parenti with Business at 25 and 55, live from Bloomberg on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 12:30. Good afternoon. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
Stocks are in the red at this hour as the U.S. cancels a planned trade meeting with China. We'll zero in on the markets.
Travel Tuesday, how O'Hare and Midway, plus airports across the country, are faring during the partial government shutdown.
Fans of Starbucks will soon be able to get their coffee fix delivered.
Chicago City Council Finance Committee meets with 40th Ward Alderman Pat O'Connor, replacing Ed Burke as chairman.
On Wall Street, the Dow now down 385 points. The NASDAQ is down 138. S&P down 43. And oil today down right about 3%.
Winter weather advisory is up. We've got a freezing drizzle and flurries, a high of 34, currently 24 degrees.
The Noon Business Hour is presented by Old Second Bank.
Well, markets are losing ground today. We're joined by Jim Awad, Senior Managing Director at Clearstead Advisors in New York. Welcome back to the Noon Business Hour, Jim. Why are the markets in the red today?
Yeah, well, primarily because of the data on China over the weekend, that it showed a measurable softening in their rate of growth, and some people think it actually may be worse than the official numbers. Combined with the fact that the Davos meeting started today, and you had some pretty high-profile investors such as Ray Dalio coming out and being rather cautious on their outlook, centered around slowing worldwide growth and the tremendous amount of debt that's been added to the system throughout the West in the last 10 years, and whether slower growth and slightly higher interest rates will start to be reflected in the real economy and the markets. And also, you had sort of an extraordinary start to the year where the market was ignoring bad news and bouncing back from the tremendous Christmas Eve bottom. So you got extended, you got a little bit ahead of yourself, and then some sobering facts. And the news on China just came out a few minutes ago. We have to see whether that's for real, because it's just a source. They're attributing it to a source. It hasn't been confirmed officially, but that would not be good news if that were true.
And Tell us why.
Well, because both the U.S. and China need to work this out. The Chinese are under tremendous pressure in their economy. The tariffs are exasperating it. The U.S. economy is slowing significantly, and it doesn't need black swans like a government shutdown or trade wars. Left to its own, the U.S. economy should be able to show a reasonable growth rate this year. But if Washington keeps throwing out these hand grenades, we're going to be worried about whether we're going to have any growth here. And it really is there are serious trade issues between the United States and China. And no matter what you think of the administration, they do get some credit for raising the issue. And most corporations support a renegotiation of the various agreements, particularly around intellectual property theft. But any negotiation involves compromise, and compromise is better than brinkmanship. And also you're dealing with the Asian mentality, and you have to let the Chinese leaders save face without seeming to be humiliated, or they may act in a surprisingly negative way.
Let's talk about how long, as this continues to drag on, is there a point where that damage to growth is something that will take even longer to fix once a new trade deal is in place? I mean, it seems like it's already gone on a long time.
Yeah, it's gone on a long time, but the effects work their way through the system slowly. And you do have that. They did decide not to put on the additional tariffs until the end of March negotiations. So I would say if you got to March and there was no deal and they weren't talking, think government shutdown and where we are with that now. If we were at that with the Chinese, I would think that's where you would really start to see an effect on the economy in the second quarter. You're going to see the effect from the shutdown on the first quarter. But if you layer on that the effect of the second quarter, you may have an economy that's not growing at all in the first half of this year, and the markets aren't expecting that and are not priced for that.
And so is that where the government shutdown is really having an impact? And obviously long term, probably not a big deal, but short term, certainly.
Well, yeah, it depends on how long it goes on. I mean, it's sort of like every day you're adding an extra pound of weight on the U.S. economy negatively by the shutdown working its way through the system. If it's solved in the next 30 days, then, a lot of it will get bounced back as you start to. Some of it's lost permanently, but some of it will get bounced back. But if we go through the entire first quarter and the parties are as isolated from each other as they are now, it's going to be a problem. We've never been through a situation where it's this polarized between the two parties, and they're not talking, and they're both in a situation now where their bases are not going to let them compromise. So it's almost like you need an intervention from a third party. And I hope it's a good intervention, not a bad intervention. I hope it's not some bad event like TSA workers deciding that they're not going to work anymore. It's not a good situation.
Is it possible that this could lead to recession?
Well, no, we're not thinking that yet. We do have momentum in the economy, and consumer spending at the moment remains strong, but both business and consumer attitudes are softening. And the longer it goes on, the greater the odds that it could lead to a recession. I would say the consensus is now that maybe you're going to have 2% growth in the U.S. economy for the year, maybe less than 1% in the first quarter. To the extent this continues, those numbers will start to come down. So you hope, left to its own devices, the economy would do fine, but the folks in Washington have to give it some support. Rather than banging it on the head.
Jim Awad joining us. Thanks, Jim. Jim is Senior Managing Director at Clearstead Advisors in New York. Up next, Travel Tuesday, how government gridlock is impacting air travel.
Loaning useful information each weekday. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Travel Tuesday on the Noon Business Hour, sponsored by Kaler Luggage. It has now been a little more than a month since the start of the partial government shutdown. Let's get the latest on the situation at airports from Joe Brancatelli, editor and publisher, joesentme.com, based in New York. Joe, what is the latest? I'm sure there's at least longer lines at a few airports.
There's longer lines, Cisco, at virtually every airport in the country. It's gotten so difficult that the government, which traditionally did not want to put out statistics, is now putting out statistics. And there were four airports yesterday that had waiting times at security more than 30 minutes. 14 more had waiting times over 20 minutes. It's even beginning to affect the pre-check lines, which we've talked about in the past. These are bypassed. There are 8 airports in the country where the waiting times on the fast lines are now more than 10 minutes.
And obviously, until the government shutdown is taken care of, it's probably only going to get worse as more and more of the employees are calling out sick and just other factors.
It has been getting progressively worse since the very first day. Right after New Year's, one of the spokespeople for the government, Homeland Security Department, which is the overriding agency, called it fake news. But it's not clearly not fake news, as the government now admits. And another paycheck will be missed on Friday. These guys and women work very close to the line, like many Americans do. Losing two paychecks, doesn't matter that they'll get them back later. They'll have to, by the government's been admitting that it's not a sick out per se, that these people just can't afford to keep coming into work without a paycheck. So they need to get a side hustle, or they're trying to take another job. And come Friday, more no paychecks.
Where is Chicago on your list?
Chicago has been doing surprisingly well. O'Hare is okay. Midway, not quite as good, but not bad. I do think that the government is beginning to look at the major airports and saying, okay, we've got to keep those airports like O'Hare, like Atlanta, like New York, like Los Angeles running for two reasons. One, that's where most of the passengers are. And two, that's where most of the media is. You just heard your previous guest, Jim, say, well, if the TSA workers stop working, the government shutdown might end. That's how important this thing is. If the TSA workers don't show up, and at this point they're not showing up at a rate of 1 in 10, it would be chaos. You wouldn't be able to run the flights.
I'm trying to imagine maybe a nightmare scenario the day after the Super Bowl in Atlanta, where you have all these people from all over the country who've come in for the game trying to leave at the same time.
That's what I'm looking at as well, Cisco. Atlanta has been a very difficult airport. In fact, the other day they had wait times of at least 90 minutes, according to the government, more than 2 hours, according to the guy who runs Atlanta Airport. That's on a normal day. Atlanta is the busiest airport, even busier than O'Hare. The day after the Super Bowl is the day you look at. That's the day when everyone wants to leave. It could be real chaos, and it could make Chicagoland people say, well, that double doink wasn't so bad. At least we didn't get the chaos in Atlanta.
That's right. That was our nightmare anyway.
Right. The only thing worse than that is waiting 3 hours on a security line to leave, especially if your team lost the Super Bowl.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Thanks, Joe.
Joe Brancatelli is at this time tomorrow if Personal Finance Wednesday. Still to come, Starbucks joining the delivery parade.
Loaning useful information each weekday. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Following a test in Miami this past fall, Starbucks is now set to roll out delivery service in Chicago and other cities. We're joined by Gary Kaltbaum, president of Kaltbaum Capital Management and Fox News business contributor in Orlando. Welcome back to the Noon Business Hour. Gary, what's this going to look like?
Well, there's a bull market in delivery, and it's not just Starbucks, it's everybody. They're going to start with all the dense urban areas because they're going to go through Uber Eats, and fees are lower because of how much demand there are in these dense urban areas, and they'll see how it goes. They're going to San Francisco and New York, Boston, Washington, Chicago, and L.A., and if that works, they'll move to other places.
Most of the stuff that you get in the area right now, that's going to also be sold, and there's also a fee for that?
Yes. And just, you know, I work in downtown Orlando, Florida. I think there's more people delivering things than people as I walk outside. That's how big the delivery business is right now. I don't know if it's going to continue. I don't know what happened to people just walking out of their office and getting a nice little brisk walk and picking something up. I guess this is convenient and they don't mind paying the extra, and continues to expand. It's as I said, not just Starbucks. It's pretty much everything these days.
Yeah, there's no time for that, Gary. There's work to be done. I can't walk and get a cup of coffee. Come on.
Yeah, I guess you're right. look, I don't know how far this goes, how big it gets. All I can tell you right now, it continues to expand and expand and expand. And look, I'm a big believer. If there's demand, they're going to supply it. So obviously, there's a demand for it.
Now, are there certain products like coffee and like fast food that maybe just aren't conducive to delivery? I'm thinking not only you have the fee, you know, $2.50, but Uber saying, hey, we'll have all deliveries in 30 minutes or less. Well, who wants a coffee that was made 30 minutes ago?
Well, it better come hot instead of warm or cold, or this isn't going to work. I'm sure they have figured that out by now. They know if they deliver food the wrong way, this thing will go about as south can be. So I think that all that stuff is figured out. When I, as I said, I see people delivering. They're delivering from cold subs to hot subs to pizza to everything. So I think they know what they're doing along those lines. The question is, how big a demand is it? And we'll know in time.
And Cisco, the delivery fee is $2.49. That
better
extra penny.
Yeah, have some change
counts.
For sure. Yeah. Gary Kaltbaum, always good to have you on. His website, GaryK.com. Bloomberg checks the markets next as they are falling. WBBM News Time, 12:55. A check of Wall Street from Bloomberg. Here's Elisa Parenti.
Cisco, it's something of a rout, with the averages sinking 1.5% to almost 2%. The Dow down 346 points now to 24,361. NASDAQ losing 127. S&P lower by 39 points. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg falling 1.5%. China's economic growth slowed significantly last year, down to levels not seen since 1990. And there's less optimism that China and the U.S. will resolve their trade dispute. The Financial Times reports the Trump administration rejected an offer by two Chinese vice ministers to travel to the U.S. this week to prepare for higher-level meetings that are set to take place at the end of the month. And Stanley Black & Decker is pointing to slowing growth as the reason it's slashing its sales expectations. The stock is plunging 13%. With Business at 25 and 55, live from Bloomberg, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS-FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.